Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, hello. Thank you. And welcome once again to another podcast full of sins and lies. This podcast has more sins and lies than any other. And brought to you by your friends at Greatest Hits Radio. Sister Susie is in her customary position at the saloon bar with a bag of pork scratchings.
Yes, I am indeed.
Sister Holly is in the tack cupboard.
Hello.
Full cast for
it is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And wow. Brother Matthew is, as ever, in the gutter.
As per.
So coming up, we have a podcast exclusive. Now, I mentioned this on the show, and that is because it's a confession which doesn't kind of fit. I didn't think it was right for the live radio show. It's not one of those that's too rude to be broadcast, so it's in a category of its own.
Oh, right.
So there's going to be a confession on this podcast which has never been heard before.
But you can only hear it on this on this podcast.
That is correct.
It won't have been live. That's wow. Okay.
Also, look through the parish notice board. More of the confessions that we actually can't do on the radio, and all the confessions that have been broadcast on Drive Time on Greatest Hits Radio 4 until 7, Monday to Friday.
Come on, everyone.
Yep.
Including Lady Jane's Breaking Bad Style Confession, Don't Know Much About Science Book, Christopher's Tale, So Long, Farewell, Auf Wiedersehen, Adieu, to you,
and you, and you. Yeah, sound of music.
Musicals.
Yeah.
Your knowledge is amazing.
It's so good.
Howard's Confession, Wanted, Dead or Alive, but first it's a football-fueled fiasco in Steve's Confession, Someone's Knocking at the Door.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession, with another smart speaker, goes to Steve for sending in this tale. It's very specific, and it's football-related, what with football being everywhere at the moment.
Yeah.
Dear Simon and the Collective, it is the 10th of May 2006, and Middlesbrough and Sevilla are in the UEFA final in Eindhoven. Myself and two mates went to this match. We shall call Gary and Dave. Available accommodation was thin on the ground, local to Eindhoven. We ended up booking one night of accommodation near to the Charleroi Airport in Belgium. A very good day out was spoilt by 90 minutes of football. Borough losing 4-0 to a very good Sevilla side.
Yeah.
The hotel reservation somewhere in Belgium was two rooms for three blokes. Our driver, who organised the trip, bagged the single room. Fair enough, we agreed. Myself and Gary, a notorious snorer, would share the twin room. No problem, I thought. After a day of excessive Eindhoven hospitality, I'll be out like a light. Always drink responsibly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The 120-plus mile drive back to our hotel, somewhere near Charleroi, was interesting. Back in 2006, vehicle sat-navs were not commonplace, so I brought my work's portable sat-nav. Unfortunately, this only covered major routes in Europe, and once off those roads, it was guesswork on the smaller roads. The journey to the hotel descended into thick fog, and it took forever, which enabled the effects of the day's excessive alcohol to sober me up. We eventually arrived at the hotel in the small hours of the morning. Nobody was about to check us in, and the hotel entrance was locked. However, Dave had the combination to unlock the door. Three keys were left in reception, two were for our group. Dave goes off to his single room, leaving Gary and me to share the other one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Needless to say, Gary was out like a light, leaving myself listening to the crescendo of his snoring. After half an hour of tossing and turning and shaking Gary, it dawned on me that there was another key in reception. Remember, there were three keys and just two rooms for us. So there was a third key for an unused room. This was ridiculous. I believe in the fair distribution of resources, Father Simon, and this clearly was not fair. I sprung out of bed, I propped open our bedroom door to prevent me being locked out, and went downstairs into reception. I got the key, I found the empty room, empty except for a small rucksack, which some traveller had left earlier. Well, they weren't here now. Possession is 9/10 of the law in Europe.
Right.
And I was in possession of the room. Also, who was going to return to a hotel at 2:30 in the morning? A loser, that's who. I jumped at the chance. I went to close the bedroom door on the snoring Gary and put myself to bed in my shiny new room with the inconvenient rucksack. An hour or so later, I was woken up by a terrible noise. The noise seemed to be coming from outside the hotel. As I looked out of the window, I spotted a person at the front door of the hotel knocking on the door. It was either a madman or the owner of the small rucksack, and the person who should be in this lovely room. I closed the door to my shared room and I had nowhere to go. This person had obviously forgotten the security code and he continued to knock very loudly and incessantly. I sat tight. I couldn't go and let him in. That would mean losing my bed. His bed, I suppose, but I mean losing my bed. Also, he could be a madman and then everyone would be unsafe. Mm. He looked like a ruffian to me, and I was not going to let this dangerous man into the hotel at this time. Susie might disagree, but I know Matt would do the same.
Yes. Mm. Well, you know.
The knocking at the door continued, but nobody answered. This very bad man returned to his car, presumably to look for details of the security code or a gun. Who knows? Nowadays, it could be on an email. That's the code. Could be on an email on your phone. Car courtesy light went on. Then this very bad person returned to the front door. And I thought, this is it. I'm going to have to go and sleep in reception. However, much to their desperation, the door would not open. The door knocking continued. No answer. This very bad person returned to their car, courtesy light off, and he settled in for the remainder of the night. I was in the clear. After all that activity, I have to say I slept like a baby. At breakfast, I met my bemused friends at a loss at my overnight whereabouts. Dave had been questioned by the girl in reception on how many rooms we had used. Not knowing any Belgian or Dutch or Walloon, he indicated two. None the wiser. I quickly explained that breakfast should be brief and we should probably depart. So therefore, I would like to thank, first of all, the bad person whose room I used. Thanks for losing the security code. Try not to look so rough in future. Surprisingly, the following morning, he did not enter the room whilst I was in it, though our paths did cross in the breakfast room, and I'm a good judge of character, Father Simon. I'm fairly certain he was a member of the local gangs, and he was up to many dodgy deals.
Okay.
You could just tell by looking at him.
Right.
Also, all the other hotel guests, thanks for not opening the door. But I did save them from a night of terror from this very bad man. Also, thanks to my two mates for being oblivious to the whole episode. But I would like forgiveness for deceiving the hotel staff that we used three rooms and not two. Somehow, perhaps because of the language barrier, we got away with it. Steve needs forgiveness. Does he get it from harsh Susie?
Well, Steve, I don't think that man was a very, very bad man. I just think that's what you're saying to yourself to justify it. What if he was a really nice man with a family and, you know, he just needed somewhere to stay?
Nah, and he looked rough.
I know he forgot the code, but it's not his fault. It's your fault. You stole his room and that for that reason, stealing, I'm not forgiving.
Brother Matthew.
Well, he forgot the code. It's entirely his fault. I mean, how lucky can you get is that you get into a room, it's all nice and clean and all for you, the only problem being that someone else is someone else's room. But it turns out that other person can't get back in the hotel. Fabulous. Unbelievable. You've rolled a six every time there. And he should have remembered his code. Onus is on you, sunshine. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
So the fact that he forgot the code...
Yes.
...is probably indicative of a sick mind, I'm going to say.
Right.
So the guy... So
yeah.
Who's the receptionist?
So
that's what I want to know.
Yeah, the receptionist only works until 10, I would think. So I think Steve did the right thing because the guy outside was clearly a wrong'un.
And also, he was never going to get in anyway, was he? Even if Steve hadn't seen him out the window, he wasn't getting in because he'd forgotten the code.
Other guests might have seen him.
Yeah, well, if they had done, then they'd have let him in.
They all made the same conclusion that Steve did, and that is that he's a member of the local drugs cartel.
Correct. We're all in the gutter together.
There
that's
you go.
What they decided.
Anyway, over to the parish notice board. Matt, checking the reviews, I've just looked at the name of the first person. It's like, hardly any vowels at all.
No, so Gav Lundenman says, 5 stars, fantastic podcast. Brilliant having this back, a well-deserved 5 stars. Has everything that a podcast needs. Matt's infectious laugh just makes it all the better. And how he forgives almost everything. Keep up the good work. Would give you 10 stars if you had let me.
That was all about you.
It was all about me. Please do make sure that your podcast reviews mention me. Ruth B says, 5 stars, such a welcome return. I've missed you so much. It's great to have this podcast back. It's so funny and familiar voices make it even better. The non-familiar ones are great too.
Hi.
Hashtag Simon. I think you're even better on this channel than before.
Correct.
Hashtag emoji. Much love and lots of giggles. And finally, anonymous guy learning sign. I don't know what that means. Four stars, total hilarity. What? Why are we reading this out?
It's five stars, is it?
Right, five stars, total hilarity. Me and my father used to listen to Confessions on the Way to My Sports, and now it's back, more hilarious than ever. I always hoped that the pod would come back, thanks to the Circle of Life, and now it has.
I think it is better.
It is better, I think so
too. And it's also, there's more of it.
Yeah, there's literally 50% more every day.
Also, this now has Sister Holly involved, and we didn't have Sister Holly before.
Yeah. So true.
It's better. Top of page four, Matt.
Yes, if you want your review read out on this pod, then make sure it's five stars and you could be hearing it next week.
Susie, what have you noticed out in the parish?
Well, I've got an announcement for Neil in Doncaster, who got in touch to say, "Dear Father Simon and the Juggernauts of Justice, I would like to ask for a replaying of A Confession from the Crypt. It was originally aired late in 2021, and all I remember was a guy was backpacking with his girlfriend around Australia. He managed to play some rugby matches with the Australians, but before one match, he was in such a haste, he put on his girlfriend's underwear. Oh, this made me guffaw all the way through, just like Matt did from memory, with all the accents from Father Simon.
Thank you.
Please, please play this again." And I just have to say to Neil, go back and listen to an older episode, because it has already featured in the Confession from the Crypt.
There you go.
So it's find episode 15, Scream and Shout and Other Tales, and therefore your wish is granted.
Wow. It's a public service. That's what this is.
Yeah.
We're directing people back to previous podcasts.
Episode 15? I didn't know what we'd done. I thought we'd done like six.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you have any musings about the podcast or want to request something from the Crypt, maybe that hasn't been done before, I don't know, just become a regular listener, I don't know. You can just tell us that you love us. That's also a nice thing. And from Matt's point of view, he's a little insecure. Tell him how great Matt is.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks.
Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Quick couple of mentions to Ruth Esbach.
Carabiner.
23.
Yes, carabiner is what you use for when you're...
rock climbing and
climbing
abseiling,
the rocks.
Yes.
Rock climbing and climbing the rocks.
I can't decide.
Sal, Dratsum, Sol Invictus, Scragmeister, they're both back. Oggy 50U, this is just... and GW.
Yeah, GW. Yeah.
Anyway, they were amongst the people who tweeted and blue-skied and the secret phrase from last week's podcast, which was, of course, sexy foot scrapings.
Mm.
Matt will, of course, have a new one for you at the end of this podcast. Do not fast forward to the end. Just hang about.
Do not look at the script that apparently you can download.
No, because that's cheating.
Yes.
And we'll know. Now, time for the very quick gloss over the not-for-broadcast confessions that, frankly, didn't make the cut. I mean, Susie's quite harsh about this, but anyway, let's start with Chris. No matter how funny it was, Chris, it was just, I think, distasteful to plant a suggestive chocolate bar in the swimming pool of your German swimming camp just because you'd had a rather late night. We're not really up to doing swimming parade, whatever that is. You also didn't expect it to escalate so quickly, with not only the whole pool being evacuated due to health concerns, but the entire cadet camp was confined to quarters until the offender confessed under the threat of everyone being sent home. There you go. So my guess is it was probably a Twix.
I was thinking Mars bar in my head.
A Mars bar might work.
Or a Snickers.
Lion bar with all the noddles. That's what I was thinking. Aww. Yes.
Sorry, that was quite unnecessary. Also, Mr. T, serving dog food disguised as a stew to patrons in your pub who you found annoying was never going to go down well here, was it? Especially with Sister Susie, who would never condone such behaviour in her fine establishment. It was also never going to be read out at tea time, was it? You don't want to serve... If you serve dog food just because a patron is annoying...
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Anyway, let's get back to those that did make the cut, I think. It's over to Lady Jane and her chemistry catastrophe. Don't know much about a science book.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone.
Okay, now, today's confession comes from Lady Jane, and there are elements of this confession. I think this is like a 12 certificate.
Oh.
It does contain scenes with a scalpel. And there are also various scenes where we're doing the equivalent of pixelating.
Oh, really?
Okay, to avoid giving too much detail away. Father Simon and the Mediators of Mercy, you have aired two confessions recently. Gordon's French linguistic woes and Nigel's magnetic milk mischief. They respectively prompted and reinforced the realisation that I need to finally confess to an incident that occurred far too many years ago in different times. However, I fear that this may be destined for the role of shame, which is precisely what I felt at the time. I, like Gordon, grew up in the three-school system. All began well in middle school. Science was my favourite subject, and I found every aspect utterly fascinating. Soon I was top of the class. In fact, I had so outpaced the curriculum that the wonderful science teacher set me experiments and tasks to do from the first year GCSE syllabus, as well as a few things that would not be in any school chemistry books, but were a lot of fun. I was happily occupied in a corner on my own while she taught the rest of the class. As a shy, somewhat nervous child, this was utter bliss. Unfortunately, all of that ended when, arriving at class one day, we discovered that the wonderful teacher had left to be replaced by a mean, grumpy, incompetent fool. Oh. All were... not to put too fine a point on it. All my experiments were gone because he didn't have time to waste on special treatment and I would just have to learn like everyone else. Mm. Well, I had already learned, and worse, he was getting it all wrong. His lessons were littered with rudimentary mistakes and errors. I would never normally have dared to speak up, but this was important, so I frequently found myself having to correct him on the basics. I bet that went down well. I consoled myself that at least I would have new teachers and new things to learn when I moved schools, and obviously picked all the sciences for GCSE. Well, the report he gave me must have been utterly terrible, because even though I got A star for every test, when I moved up to the big school, I was placed in the very bottom set. Mm. I, a dainty, shy, nervous, nerdy, girly swot, found myself surrounded by Neanderthals.
Oh, right.
And the bullies were unsupervised and bored. I felt that the only way to prevent the terrifying barbarian horde that my classmates comprised, some of them already had moustaches, from grinding me to a pulp for their lunch, was to attempt to be cool by teaching some of the more colourful experiments from my extra tuition. It is this attempt at self-preservation that leads me to my confession, as well as a school myth that has lingered on long enough for my nieces and nephews to have heard the story when they transferred to the same school many years later.
Wow.
The science technician's preparation room was attached directly to the classroom in which I and the beasts were housed, and it was left unlocked. All the equipment and chemicals I could possibly need were at hand. Amongst all the treasures I found were all the ingredients I would need to make up the bases required to create what I'm calling very dangerous substance number one.
Okay.
This is a substance that is reasonably inert when in solution, but becomes ridiculously unstable when dry, detonating in an energetic explosion with the slightest touch, creating a small flash, a bit of a pop, and a lot of gas. Chemists will know exactly what we're talking about. Everyone else can just go with a very dangerous substance,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Number one. Yeah. My notion was that I would teach the petrifying pack of ogres how to make a weak solution of very dangerous substance, number one. They could soak paper in it and then leave it to dry, and it'd be like flash paper. Unfortunately, the squad of blood-curdling brutes quickly bored of this game, and mixing themselves an undiluted batch of the solution, inevitably the Morlocks stumbled upon the science technician's fridge and the trays of dead frogs ready for dissection in biology. Soon these frogs were dunked and thoroughly soaked in this substance. I don't know what I expected, but what happened next was even worse. The frogs were returned to the trays, neatly arranged and put back in the fridge. Obviously, I wasn't in the dissection class myself when it happened, but everybody heard about it afterwards. As scalpels were drawn and flesh incised, the students, their hair, clothes, books, bags, the desks, the walls around them, even the ceiling, everything, became far more intimately acquainted with frog anatomy than the curriculum had ever intended. Descriptions of the carnage resembling a painting by Jackson Pollock and included the words viscera and pebble dash. Many students were understandably ill and upset. Parents were called and very serious questions asked. There was a lot of gossip around the school about how it could have happened. Some people hypothesized sabotage, others blamed poor storage and preparation. Therefore, I humbly seek forgiveness, Father Simon, from the entire biology class, the teacher who suffered along with them, the science technicians that had their work questioned, and the cleaners who had to clear the ceiling for the first time. I kept quiet out of fear, and I'm very sorry. I realise now that the teacher was so lax, I could probably have just gone to the library instead and saved everyone so much trouble. Fortunately for me, my parents persevered, the school recognised I was in the wrong class, and I am now a biochemist working in oncology and specialise in breast cancer research because good teachers really do inspire.
Yes, they do.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's a very interesting ending there for Lady Jane, who's clearly doing some good work, but in the process made up very dangerous substance number one and applied them, well, friends, colleagues applied them to frogs. Sister Susie, what do you say?
Well, I do feel for Lady Jane because, I, you know, I can understand what it's like to be a nerdy girl in a class full of very colourful characters, because that was me in one of my classes at school, and you know, it's not very nice. However, I just don't think I can forgive, because it caused absolute carnage and yes, frog guts everywhere, and no, can't forgive for that reason alone.
Okay, Brother Matthew.
I mean, you know, there is a school of thought that says if you're going to teach the Neanderthals in your class how to make very dangerous substance number one, they're not just going to stick with paper, are they? They were always going to be applying it to something else that was going to explode. However, you know, the chemistry teacher wasn't very good, was he? And everyone was a bit bored. And also the frog did get dissected, didn't it? That was the whole point, is we're going to dissect some frogs. And that did happen. It's just that the yes, frog was obviously thrown all over the room, and up everyone's nose. So for that reason, yes, I'm going to forgive.
I feel as though, because we did pixelate that confession.
We did a bit, didn't we?
We did take out all the ingredients that mm-hmm, were listed, mm-hmm, the name of the chemical compound.
Yeah, yeah,
but I think this just shows that we were a wise and mature and responsible podcast.
Words that you don't normally use to describe our podcast, it's fair to say.
No,
wise,
that's
mature,
right,
and responsible.
I mean, I could just say sulfur peroxide, but that would also be wrong because it wasn't that.
It wasn't just sulfur peroxide. No. Good, good, good. Phew. Glad that we didn't suddenly reveal that.
It also was not calcium carbonate.
Isn't that, that's toothpaste, isn't it? I'm pretty sure. Anyway,
list of things
sure,
that it's not.
It's definitely not toothpaste, let's be clear.
So maybe that sparked a thought in your mind, and maybe you have a confession to send in. I'm not sure how many exploding frogs we really, really could tolerate.
No.
In fact, we probably hit our limit.
Yeah, less is more.
Is there a limit, Suze, on the amount of exploding frogs we're allowed to have?
I think it depends on the context, but, you know, not too many,
okay,
I would say. One's enough, maybe.
Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Still to come on the podcast, a very special podcast exclusive. It was a confession which just kind of didn't fit anywhere else other than here. There's Howard's confession, wanted dead or alive, but not before Christopher's confession. So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, adieu to you and you and you.
Yeah, yep.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Christopher. I'm going to give this sort of, it's PG-12 only because it's not as revolting as yesterday.
Okay. I mean,
it's mm-hmm, distasteful.
Right. Well, I love a bit of distaste.
Okay.
So.
Yes,
Simon in the Forgiveness Forum says, Christopher, I wish to offer up apologies for an almost forgotten misdeed which I've been keeping hidden for over 25 years.
Mm.
Back in 1998, after 10 years working in the supply function at the NHS, I truly had had enough. See, I'm a creative soul. And at the time, there was a burgeoning industry of local radio stations crying out for fresh, new and interesting voices. I'd done my time on hospital radio, collecting requests from patients, we've all done that, and I wanted a taste of the big life, the bright lights and the fame. I thought I had a great voice, and I had something to say that couldn't be said doing an ordinary, boring job deep within the multi-layers of management systems within the National Health Service. I decided to give up the counting and distribution of catheters, syringes and a cast of other unmentionables. You learn quickly within the NHS never to ask where a particular piece of kit is used or, heaven forbid, how. Having handed in my notice, I accepted my decision of future poor pay but good times. But long hours spent in a small, airless, soundproof, windowless box playing tunes I thought was going to be entertaining. I was going to be entertaining thousands, millions maybe.
Yeah.
But in reality, I ended up probably entertaining a couple of lonely housewives, if any at all. Don't know why the housewives have come into it, but anyway, that's what he says. After my 4 weeks were nearly up, I was told by my NHS manager that the women in the office had organised a leaving do on my last day. I was expecting the usual sorry to see you go cards and stale prawn cocktail crisps in a bowl. You know the kind of thing. Not being the kind of person who shines with that kind of attention, I sort of shy away from such things. What was I thinking about a career in radio? Ah, yes, windowless, airless rooms. No one sees you on the radio, you see. This is before the days of webcams in studios. Mm-hmm. Allowing studio managers to check you're working and not reading the newspapers while, or maybe watching the football while the songs are playing. At this point, I have to explain a particular medical condition.
Yeah, yeah.
At this point, I have to explain a particular medical condition I had at the time.
Oh, good.
Oh, really?
Very hard skin on the heel of my foot. It had plagued me for years, and out of frustration. Now, can I just say at this point, if you have anything like this, talk to your pharmacist or your GP.
Okay, of course.
Do not do what Christopher does.
Oh, no.
It had plagued me for years, and out of frustration, I decided I was finally going to deal with it, and I duly did with my trusty Swiss Army knife.
Oh, right.
What?
There you go.
I started hacking away at the hard skin with the unsterilized blade until I could feel some improvement, you know, smoothish skin. I followed up the Army knife with a quick sanding with fine-cut sandpaper to really make the improvement I was looking for. This guy's an idiot.
Oh, man.
It was, however, only a temporary improvement as an infection soon made itself noticed.
Funnily
what,
enough.
You're kidding me? You tried to clean, sort your feet out with a knife and sandpaper. Fearing I'd given myself gangrene, I hot-footed myself over to the local A&E department, which is not where I worked, at the start of my last working day, and thinking that the good nurses and doctors would fix me up straight away and I'd be out in no time, I sat and waited in the waiting room. I was duly triaged and told that there might be a bit of a wait. The nice nurse organised a trolley to free up the seat I was sitting in, and I was duly pushed into a side room to wait my turn. The A&E were very busy dealing with proper injuries and not numpties like me. The minutes passed and I felt myself dozing off and I slipped into sleep. When I woke, it was 6 hours later. The day was almost done. I didn't have a mobile phone. The NHS at the time only stretched as far as giving me a one-way pager that had pinged itself almost into oblivion with messages starting with, "Are you okay?" then getting progressively more and more aggressive in tone, including suggestions what my colleagues thought I could do with the cakes in the office. Eventually, a doctor did patch me up and reassured me that the infection was only mild, and I went home. Dear Collective, I would like to seek forgiveness for my past transgressions from the A&E staff, who had more important things to deal with, and my work colleagues, who I understand had actually made some delicious cakes. And there were no stale prawn cocktail crisps in a bowl. I was going to have a fabulous send-off, but I didn't have it because I'd chiseled my foot away. Needless to say, I cannot be forgiven for my own stupidity with a Swiss Army knife and sandpaper, but I have had a 25-plus year in radio, which I am still enjoying. And no recurrence of my hard skin. Oh, well, you know, that is very reassuring. I wonder who this person is.
Well, yes.
Maybe.
Let's speculate live on
air.
Who
is this Muppet who decided to get rid of his hard skin by chiseling it with his Swiss Army knife and sandpaper? What kind of fool can this person be? Sister Susie.
Well, he is a fool, isn't he? It's absolutely ridiculous. What I think happened is he just didn't want to go to his last day of work and thought he'd kind of get out of it by doing that. Also, if you're going to go to A&E on the morning of your last shift or whenever you're working, clearly you're going to have to tell work that you're going to be late, because there's no way you're going to be dealt with in a jiffy, is it? So you should have let them know in the first place, and then maybe they wouldn't have been so disappointed when he just didn't turn up. I agree with the colleagues with what he can do with his cakes. Not forgiven here.
Brother Matthew.
Well, you know, I agree with Suze that he didn't really fancy going to this farewell do, and he was probably surprised that they'd made all of those cakes because he wasn't expecting much. But I'm going to forgive, because I think we've all learned a lesson there about using Swiss Army knives and sandpaper on our feet.
Anyone
might have been thinking about doing that, well, don't do it, because you now know what happens when you use a Swiss Army knife on your own foot and try to cure you. And he's now gone, hasn't it? His thing's gone on his foot. So, everything turned out fine. Because his foot no longer has the thing.
And a 25-plus year radio career, which
And he's been working radio for 25 years. Yes, indeed. So, yes, forgiven.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
This one comes from Howard. All names have been changed to protect the identity of those involved, though we know who we are.
Yes.
Father Simon, Sisters Susie and Holly, and Gorilla Man Matt.
Why
are you Gorilla Man reminded?
Because a man approached me in a park and said to my wife, "You'll be all right, you're with Gorilla Man."
Still a very strange anecdote.
Yeah.
Father Simon, please accept this confession from a dedicated paramedic working for the NHS in the north of England. My confession dates back to early 2023, when, as you may recall, my colleagues and I in the ambulance service were embroiled in industrial action as part of a dispute over pay and conditions. And this is where we meet... I missed out a bit there. And this is where we meet the antagonist of our story, a young student paramedic on placement. Let's call him Rupert, not his real name. Yeah. Now, whilst the vast majority of students are friendly and happy to learn whilst on placement, Rupert was a different breed. Rupert was from a medical family, and boy, did he like to let us know about it. Despite only being in his second year of university, Rupert always liked to try and show off using fancy medical jargon and terminology to try and look smarter than the rest of us. Things like telling a patient that, quote, "It appears you have bilateral excess interstitial fluid gathering around your malleoluses," rather than just saying, "Your ankle looks swollen," which is what that means. Yeah. Rupert also made sure that we all knew that he disapproved of our stance over pay, but then again, it was quite clear that Rupert's parents were very well off, and that Rupert didn't have to worry about money. Needless to say, Rupert was not a popular person. On the station, and a small group of us decided to do something. Now, on the ambulance station, Father Simon, we have a training room in which we have full-sized training mannequins. It is not uncommon for us to have a laugh by dressing one of these mannequins in some spare uniform and leaving them sat at a computer desk, ready for someone to come into the room. That kind of hugely entertaining prank. However, something a little more devious is what we had in mind. See, Father Simon, there was a story in a national newspaper about an ambulance service that got into trouble after a crew reportedly took a deceased patient back to the ambulance station and left it overnight in the ambulance before taking it to the morgue the next morning. I cannot stress enough that this is not something that I or any of my colleagues would ever do. However, we hope that Rupert didn't know this. Skip ahead a week or so, and Rupert's regular mentor was on leave, and so he was due to come out on shift with me and my regular crewmate, Dave. We were on an early day shift, starting at 6 a.m. We took one of the training mannequins from the training room and placed it in a body bag on the stretcher in the back of the ambulance. Okay. We also put a smile and a wig on it, and then covered it in a white sheet, just like you see on television. We then closed the ambulance up and went to the crew room to make a cup of tea and await Rupert's arrival. Our plan was to pretend that we'd only just arrived, as well as to ask Rupert to check the vehicle whilst we got our kit bags from the cupboard. Well, Father Simon, all seemed to be going without a hitch. Plan set, hot brews consumed, and right on schedule, 5 to 6, we saw Rupert pulling into the car park in his shiny BMW 3 Series, a present from Mummy and Daddy when he got into university, along with a private number plate. Oh, my goodness. Me. "Positions, everyone," I might have shouted if I was that way inclined. And as it was, Dave headed out of the side door so he could appear to be just arriving at the same time as Rupert. And I headed to the controlled drugs cupboard so that I could appear to be rushing to book out the drugs packs that we would take out that day. "Morning," I shouted to Rupert as he swanned into the station. "We'll take that ambulance," I said, telling him the call sign and throwing him the keys. "Rupert, please make a start on checking the vehicle. We'll just grab our bits and bobs. Thanks." As Rupert headed to the ambulance, as you know, already fully checked and stocked and with a fake dead person inside, Dave and I snuck into the garage to listen for Rupert's reaction. Well, we got one.
Boy, did we get one. Rupert opened the doors of the ambulance and uttered the kind of expletive-laden language we'd never heard from his previously well-spoken mouth. He then slipped and fell out of the side door of the ambulance, landing awkwardly on his ankle, which immediately gave way. More expletives followed. Dave and I rushed over. He didn't look good, screaming and clutching his ankle in a way that any international footballer would be proud of.
Okay.
He looked pale and I genuinely thought he might have broken it. Now, Father Simon, Dave and I had a decision to make. Did we own up to being the brains behind the prank? Answer, no, of course we didn't. We lied where appropriate. And anyway, I took a look at Rupert's ankle and after assessing it, was pretty confident, what with me being an ambulance man and everything, that it wasn't broken, just badly bruised. He didn't even have any excess interstitial fluid around either malleolus.
Yes.
So, Father Simon, I don't seek forgiveness from Rupert, who can't have hurt his ankle that badly since he posted photos out on the lash with his rugby chums that very night on his Instagram feed. Though, oddly, it did hurt him enough for him to try and get out of carrying any kit bag on his next shift a week later. No, Father Simon, I ask forgiveness from Rupert's flatmates, who apparently had to hear about his brush with death for weeks afterwards. Rupert, meanwhile, didn't change his ways and earned himself such a reputation that no one wanted to work with him anywhere. Thankfully, students often rotate around different stations each year, so we only had a few more months. He's just finished his degree and he's made a big deal about how he's going to work in London, which is fine by fine by all of us. Okay, so an insight into the workings of the ambulance service, courtesy of Howard. It's another prank. You either find pranks funny or you don't, but Sister Holly is going first.
Well, the thing is, Howard, no one likes a show-off, and so I can totally relate to you on that. However, I don't like pranks. It's a sort of passive-aggressive expression of your frustration. You may as well just talk to them and actually express the fact that you're not very happy with them rather than doing some sneaky little prank. I just don't think it's immature, and I don't think it's the right way to go about things. And for that reason, not forgiving.
Not forgiving. Brother Matthew.
I'm not quite as mature as Holly. I'm all for pranks on Rupert and his personalised number plates. What's that about, by the way? Also, why did we think putting a smile onto the mannequin was going to make how does that look like a dead body? Anyway, I'm definitely going to forgive, because frankly, you're going to encounter far worse than that when you're doing the job, Rupert. And maybe Mummy and Daddy can't get you out of that. Well, look out, London, because Rupert, you're going to have a lot of fun down here. So I'm going to say forgiven.
Sister Holly, back for that confession. Always welcome.
Thank you.
I know you have a lot of tack cupboard duties and responsibilities.
It's very busy in there. Yeah.
Sister Holly's going to be around for the next couple of weeks as Sister Susie is taking a two-week sabbatical in the Glastonbury Parish.
Oh, yes.
But Glastonbury only lasts like 3 days. Why are you... How'd you get a two-week break out of it?
Extended for extra service.
Oh, I see.
You need to recover afterwards, don't you,
yes.
I suppose? Yeah.
There's a build-up and then there's a wind-down.
Mm.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Mm. Yes.
I hope you have, like, a VIP pass for everything.
Oh, I wish.
This is usually where we have a delve into the crypt and unearth a confession from the past, but going to do something slightly different because this is an exclusive for the podcast. So this is a confession that hasn't been put out on the radio. I didn't think it was so shocking that it had to be in the, you know, the ones that can't be broadcast. But for reasons that I think you will discover, it felt like maybe it should live its own life here.
Okay. Loving it.
Everyone should feel slightly insecure because they don't know where we're heading. This is a confession from Sonia. I mean, I've made that name up, so I don't know who it is. But anyway, let's call her Sonia.
Let's call her Sonia and hope that it's okay.
And hope that that's not actually the real name. Simon, Matt, Susie, and the team. That means Holly,
that
obviously.
Means me.
This confession has weighed me down for over two decades. My late husband and I ran a successful... So what I think you need to... So this, just pause it here. So it's a proper confession, but it's actually the kind of confession that you would take to a priest.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Anyway.
Wow. Yeah.
My late husband and I ran a successful business. He would often go on business trips with two or three members of our staff, so I was used to him going off and travelling the world. On rare occasions, I would also join them, but as a male-orientated trade, I always felt somewhat out of place. I would be the one to arrange all the travel and the places to stay for whoever was travelling with my husband. Then suddenly, my husband says he's going away on business. It's all arranged already. Now, call me suspicious, but something didn't seem quite right. He was very vague and defensive. Sister Susie, I'm sure you can agree that when us ladies suspect our partner is playing away, we're able to become the top FBI agents going. Nothing gets past us. Now, obviously, I'm throwing that to you because Sonia has done that, but obviously you might not have any personal experience. Okay, so let's blur it a bit.
Let's do that.
Susie and Holly, do you think women have a sixth sense that detects when their other half is up to no good? Holly goes first.
Probably, I would imagine so. Yes, I don't have any personal experience, but okay. I think they do. Okay. They're very good at sort of the Facebook and the social media and sort of looking around. Absolutely.
Okay. Suze?
Yes.
Okay.
100%, yes.
Okay, so Sonia says nothing gets past us. Yeah. Well, after some investigating, I found he had planned a trip with a young, pretty lady. After many tears, I decided that it was probably best to get my own back. The planning commenced. At this point, can I point out, I did not want to be faced with lies, nor did I want our son to see what was happening. A few days before his trip, I asked for his clothes that he needed to take to ensure that they were pressed, and I would pack for him. "Don't worry, I'll sort it," was his reply.
Fortunately, he was Ray Winston again.
"Don't worry, I'll sort it," was his reply. Hackles rose as he never ironed or packed his own case.
Wow.
So I got the ironing out, and as the good, faithful, loving wife, I suddenly had a brainwave. I ironed all of his clothes, including his underwear, but I ironed crushed peppercorns into his underwear and trousers in the groin area, including the items he would be wearing for his trip. I then got all his underwear out of his drawer and did the same to them. The day before the trip, it started becoming uncomfortable and he's itching around in the underpant area. He arranges to see the doctor, but as this was Friday and he was flying out on Sunday, they couldn't see him till after the trip. Oh dear. Well, on Saturday, he tells me the trip has been cancelled. This was after I heard a phone call of him telling this lady that sorry he can't go and he can't see her again. His itching and soreness made him believe he had caught something.
Oh, dear. No!
Quite serious.
I'm beginning to see why this didn't get on the air. Anyway, well, do continue.
Also, is how we finish. Fast forward to 4 years ago, and we knew he was ill. He confessed to me that he hadn't gone as he believed he'd caught an STI and that that was the last time he'd been unfaithful. I asked forgiveness to the innocent lady. Well, she wasn't that innocent,
was
she?
No, not really.
Who didn't get the short holiday she expected, and to my late husband for not confessing when he admitted what he had done. So you see, that's why I thought, okay, so this is... So she
had the opportunity to tell him, oh, so don't worry, you didn't catch an STI. I just rubbed peppercorns into your pants.
But she didn't.
Oh, wow.
And now he's dead.
And now he's died, yeah.
Okay.
Apologise to my late husband for not confessing when he admitted what he'd done. So you can see why I was thinking, well, I'm not quite sure what to do with this because, I don't know, it felt like a bit of a downer. Obviously. Well, what with him dying and everything.
He is dead, yeah.
So, Sonia, thank you very much for sending in the confession. And I thought people might think, I'm not quite sure what to say. But Susie's going to lead us in our moral quest.
Well, Sonia, I think that I agree with you. Women do have a sixth sense when that happens. And regardless of what goes on, you just know, like, those things, those little clues where, you know, he never did his ironing before, he's doing it now, he's packing his bag now. Those are little clues that you look for. And do you know what? It is shocking. And maybe you should have admitted to him what you'd done. But, you know, he was doing his confessing there and you didn't want to get involved. And do you know what? I'm just going to stand with you and say I forgive you.
Yes. I think, yes. Sister Holly.
It's such a tricky one, only because the peppercorns, I just feel it was a little bit, it was so deliberate, wasn't it? And she was obviously very, very upset, and he was a dreadful, dreadful man, by the way.
But dead. Anyway,
and
carry
dead.
On.
But I just feel like maybe she should have just had it out with him and just said, yeah, I know.
We've had confessions in the past where people have rubbed chilies into underpants.
Yeah.
And the advantage of that is that it only kind of becomes fluid again once it warms up.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So when you put it on, it's fine. And then later on, can I just say, we absolutely don't...
and we won't read any more of those out.
No, that's it for those. Yeah.
any of this. Anyway, so where were you? Where did you end up?
I think for girl power reasons, I will have to stand with her, although I would suggest to anyone in future, don't put peppercorns in people's underwear, because I don't think it's very good.
Keep your peppercorns out of my pants, man.
Yeah.
Peppercorn.
Keep the peppercorns in the peppercorn dispenser.
Yes, that's not what they're there for.
No, not the Matthew.
Not a serving suggestion. I'm going to forgive, and here's the reason why. Number one, who needs their underwear ironed? I've never... If you're ironing underwear, then you've got far too much free time, because there's no point in ironing... There's not a lot of point in ironing anything, full stop, but definitely don't iron stuff that no one ever sees. And second reason is he did still have the affair, didn't he? He still had the affair. So, you know, there was a little bit of comeuppance for you then. Mm-hmm. And even though she could have told him when he did his little confession on the ding dong, well, unlucky, you had your chance, sunshine, and it passed. So sorry you're dead, but there you go. And so for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
It has almost like a movie quality, doesn't it? So we know what she's done, we know what he's done. He's confessed and she's saying...
It's like, it's Emma Thompson and he's Anthony Hopkins, she's Emma Thompson.
No, he's Alan Rickman.
And she's Emma Thompson, and it's on the deathbed and he's saying, well, I had this affair, and we all know as the audience, oh, what's she going to say? And she says nothing at all.
She says goodbye.
Goodbye.
Anyway, Sonia, thank you very much indeed for sending in your confession. I just thought we might sit more easily here where we can have a general conversation about infidelity.
Infidelity and peppercorns. Mm-hmm.
Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. A podcast first, and if there are others that just sit entirely here, then that's all perfectly fine. The Crypt will be back next week. So if you have a request for a confession you would like to hear again, or if you've got a confession that deserves forgiveness, send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
Yes, and the secret code phrase this week is very dangerous substance number one.
Okay, that's very good.
Yeah, it's very good.
Or as it's known...
Don't please make any up. No, you can't. Because
sodium bicarbonate.
Does that's salt? No.
Yes,
it is salt.
Sodium chloride.
Sodium chloride.
Sodium bicarbonate is the fizzy stuff that you take and froth on your nose.
Bicarbonate of soda.
Bicarb. Yes. So that's sodium of the carbon.
So on it. Yeah. So on it. Yeah. If you've listened this far, thanks.
Yes.
Well, thanks. We're surprised.
Please.
Tweet me at Simon Mayo on X or Twitter. Sorry, Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads or on the Blue Sky, where everyone is absolutely red hot.
They're just so great.
And the expression, once again, is the phrase?
Oh, the phrase is very dangerous substance number one.
Keep telling everybody about the podcast, the fact that we're back. And until next time, Sister Holly says...
Toodles.
Sister Susie says from the pub...
Time at the bar.
From the gutter, Brother Matthew.
Yes, goodbye.
Thank you. That was very brush.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Thank you very much, Steve, for listening. There will be another Confessions podcast with you next Friday. Tell your friends.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Underneath, is it Bernie Winters? Anyway, Bernie Winters.
Where's me washboard?
Yes.